ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 26 एंटाइटल्ड द हेलिश प्लैनेट्स टेक्स्ट 25। ये त्विह वै दाम्भिका दम्भ यज्ञेषु पशुन विशसन्ति तान अमुष्मिल लोके वैशसे नरके पतितान निरयो पतयो यात येत्वा विशसन्ति। काइंडली रिपीट द वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। ये ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। A person who in this life is proud of his eminent position and who heedlessly sacrifices animals simply for material prestige is put into the hell called Vishasana after death. There the assistants of Yamaraj kill him after giving him unlimited pain. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 6:41, Krishna says, शुचिनाम श्रीमताम गेहे योगो भ्रष्टो भी जायते। बिकॉज ऑफ हिज प्रीवियस कनेक्शन विथ भक्ति योगा अ मैन इज बॉर्न इन टू अ प्रेस्टिजियस फैमिली ऑफ ब्राह्मणास और एरिस्टोक्रेट्स। हैविंग टेकन सच अ बर्थ वन शुड यूटिलाइज इट टू परफेक्ट भक्ति योगा। हाउएवर ड्यू टू बैड एसोसिएशन वन ऑफन फॉरगेट्स that his prestigious position has been given to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he misuses it by performing various kinds of so-called yajñas like Kali Puja or Durga Puja, in which poor animals are sacrificed. How such a person is punished is described herein. The word Dambha Yajñeshu in this verse is significant. If one violates the Vedic instructions while performing yajña, and simply makes a show of sacrifice for the purpose of killing animals, he is punishable after death. In Calcutta, there are many slaughterhouses where animal flesh is sold that has supposedly been offered in sacrifice before Goddess Kali. The Shastras enjoin that one can sacrifice a small goat before the Goddess Kali once a month. Nowhere it is said that one can maintain a slaughterhouse in the name of temple worship and daily kill animals unnecessarily. Those who do so receive the punishments described herein. A person who in this life is proud of his eminent position and who heedlessly sacrifices animals simply for material prestige is put into the hell called Vishasana after death. There the assistants of Yamaraj kill him after giving him unlimited pain. So we continue our discussion on the hellish planets, which has been described so graphically in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And sometimes the atheistic people and the non-believers, when they come across such descriptions, they mock and ridicule, and they consider this as some imagination, mythology. And actually, if we do not know that why such descriptions are given, what they say may be true also. Just like over here, all these descriptions are given, and the tendency is that we focus on the punishments. We try to envision the punishments which are meted out by the Yamadutas. But if we notice, before any of these graphic descriptions of the punishments are being given, there is a graphic description of the sin also which was committed by these people who are being punished. So it is directly proportionate, the sin which these people have performed, and the sin which they have performed is not over there. Or not over there, sorry. It's been performed on this earth planet. So, because people do not know the intensity in which the sin is performed on this earth planet, they cannot ascertain to what extent the punishment should be meted out. So because the Yamadutas and Yamraj himself, he knows exactly the intensity of the sin which is being performed. So they very well know what kind of punishment should be given according to the intensity of the sin. So the scientists and philosophers, they might disbelieve all these descriptions. But actually what is being spoken over here is what they also are, you know, propagators of. It is the theory of cause and effect. So we see in this particular section, the law of karma is nothing but the principle of cause and effect. So they have given this a very bombastic name, and they try to justify this theory of cause and effect by their experimentation. But if we try to see through the scriptures are nothing but very scientifically speaking about the same principle which these scientists are now propagating, the principle of cause and effect. Law of karma is nothing but the principle of cause and effect. Srila Prabhupada one time was visited by one scientist. And this scientist was going on explaining about the Big Bang theory. And very systematically he was going on. And Srila Prabhupada was on his rocking chair, he was chanting. And this person was going on how the existence of this earth planet is because of formation of this gas. And that was because of the formation of that particular force, which was the formation of the primordial soup, which was a result which caused because of the Big Bang. And Prabhupada was going on chanting. He was hearing to all this. As he was analytically and scientifically explaining that this was because of this, this was because of this. And as he ended with the Big Bang, that everything was because of the Big Bang, so Srila Prabhupada then spoke. And who caused that bang? So because he was going with the causes, Srila Prabhupada also in his own language asked him that because you are explaining the different causes which resulted in different phenomena, and why are you ending with that bang? So Prabhupada said, who caused that bang? And this man was speechless. And Prabhupada said, Big Bang means big brain. If you say that the bang was big, any small bang, there has to be some brain behind any small bang also. So if you say that it was a big bang, it has to have some big brain behind it. So actually, what the law of karma is nothing but the principle of cause and effect. But because it is explained in such a simple language, therefore the scientists and philosophers, they think that it is all mythology. And therefore when sometimes they come across these sections, they feel that this is torturous descriptions. It's like somebody is watching a drama or a movie in which the bad guy, you know, the villain is being punished by the hero, and he's heedlessly being tortured and punched and, you know, kind of about to be killed. And somebody just walks in and watches only that section. So if somebody is watching only the end part of that drama, the movie, where that bad guy has been punished, he might feel compassionate for that villain. That, you know, why such heavy beating is going on him? But somebody who has been watching the drama or the movie all through, and who has seen all the misdoings and the wrongdoings of that villain all through the movie, knows, and he becomes very happy when the villain is being punched. In fact, he also would like to join and punch some more. One who has been watching all through knows exactly and becomes very happy when the punishment is being meted out. So unless we know the background of these punishments which are being meted out, one might feel compassionate that why such torturous punishments? But because Yamraj knows exactly every part of the sin which was committed by the sinner, so they know exactly that what is the punishment, and they have been waiting for the punishment to be meted out. So speaking about the principle of cause and effect from our scriptures, in the 6th canto, we have the episode of Ajamil. In the beginning of this episode, Shukadev Goswami speaks about the cause and effect theory. In a beautiful verse, Shukadev Goswami, before beginning the Ajamil Upakhyan, in this verse he explains, Vartamano anyayo kalo guna vigya pako yatha evam janman yayor etat dharma dharma nidarshanam. Vartamano anyayo kalo. Shukadev Goswami says, Vartaman, which means the present. When you see the present, then you can ascertain what would have been in the past and what would be in the future. So he gives the example of the spring season. That the present spring season will give you the indication of what spring was in the past and what spring will be in the future. So just by properly understanding the present spring season, you can understand that last year also spring season would have been like this, and next year also the spring season will be like this. So Shukadev Goswami is speaking the principle of, you see the effect now and you can ascertain that the cause was like this, or in the next year or future it will be like that. And giving this example, Shukadev Goswami says, similarly, by understanding our present situation, this is indicative that what we did in the past, and according to the situation now, depending on happiness and distress, what will be our situation in the future. As it is said that a saint always had a past, and a sinner always has a future. So understanding the present properly, it becomes indicative of the past, it becomes indicative of the future. Another beautiful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam explains this cause and effect theory. Janasya Krishnat Vimukhasya Daivat Adharmashilasya Sudukhitasya. So here, if we take the effect is sudukhitasya. The living entity is suffering miserably. Not just dukhitasya, but sudukhitasya. So the living entity is suffering miserably, sudukhitasya. So this is the effect, the present effect. Now what caused this particular situation of the living entity being so miserable, sudukhitasya, adharmashilasya? Now if you go back in this verse, then sudukhitasya was caused because of adharmashilasya, because the living entity became adharmi. And what was the cause of the living entity to become adharmi? Vimukhasya daivat. because he became averse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which resulted in adharma shilasya, which resulted in sudukhitasya. So if somebody is just focusing on sudukhitasya and doesn't focus on the other two aspects which became the cause of this particular effect, he might think that this God is merciless. So that verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna bhulya jiva bhogavancha kare nikatasta maya tare jhapatiya dhare. So yes, maya has captured now, that is the effect. But what was the cause for that particular effect to take place? Krishna bhulya jiva. The cause was Krishna bhulya and the effect was nikatasta maya tare jhapatiya dhare. That was the effect. Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk and he pointed out two sections. There was the green grass and there was the yellow grass. And Prabhupada pointed out to the yellow grass and asked, what does that mean? And whenever Srila Prabhupada would point out to something like that, some natural phenomena, and asked, what does that mean? You know, the disciples would be very anxious and curious to know from Srila Prabhupada that, you know, some very deep realization might come out. And sometimes they would speculate also. So when Prabhupada asked, what does that mean, that yellow grass? So one disciple said, one should be humbler than a blade of grass. And Prabhupada said, no. That yellow grass means that it has been disconnected from the soil. And because it has been disconnected from the soil, it has lost all its glory. It has turned yellow, pale. Similarly, when we are disconnected from Krishna, we also lose all of our glory. So Prabhupada was speaking about the cause and effect principle here. That the yellow grass is the effect and the cause is disconnection from the soil. So, we see in various places in the scriptures, and of course our acharyas, they speak the same principles which in the scientific jargon they are so convincing, appearing to be so convincing. But because it is explained so simply, it is missed out. As Prabhupada said, that Krishna consciousness is so simple that we may miss it. So if we take another example now, of a court case, that how, since we are talking about punishments and sin, so in this world people, this particular example, you know, appears to be relative to them. That in a court case you have the defense lawyer, the prosecutor, and they are trying to prove, you know, the defense lawyer is trying to prove that how this person has not committed that crime, and the prosecutor is trying to prove that he has committed the crime and he is guilty, proving to the judge. Now, it depends how graphically the crime is being explained and proved by the prosecutor. To that extent, the punishment will be meted out. So in the court case, if you see again the principle of cause and effect, the effect is that the judge gives out the punishment, that is the effect. And the cause becomes how well the crime is being proved. So, you know, they explain very graphically in the court with details of the crime, that this is how this was there, you know, in his consciousness, and this is the reason why he did that. And then they take out his history also of that person. Not just at that particular moment what the crime he has committed, but in the court, they extract out the history of that criminal, that this person has been like this all through in his life. And that gives more weightage to the crime which he has committed now. So the more graphically they explain the crime, the more graphic will be the punishment which will be meted out. So in a court case, it is the effect which is the punishment, and the crime which is proved by the lawyers is the cause. And now again, we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam, taking this example, we have Ajamil, whose case was being fought by, on one side, the Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. So if we have Ajamil's court case, can you imagine, Ajamil was on his deathbed and his case is being decided. So Vishnudutas were acting as the defense lawyers for Ajamil, and the Yamadutas were acting as the prosecutors. And he is lying on his deathbed, and in front of him, you know, the hearing is going on. And there was no question that this hearing would be adjourned. It was supposed to be decided then and there. And Ajamil couldn't bribe also. There was no question of bribing. So here, in this case, you know, Yamadutas were trying to prove very graphically how Ajamil was a sinner all through. And Vishnudutas were trying to prove Ajamil's case very graphically, how because of chanting Narayan's name, the glories of that chanting will actually relieve him from that Yamapash. Now, because the Vishnudutas, they were well versed with the sin, the aspect of sin, and also they were well versed with the glories of chanting the holy names. And because the Yamadutas were only well versed with the aspect of sin, but they were not well versed with the aspect of the glories of the holy name, so therefore the Vishnudutas won. And because the Vishnudutas won, Ajamil at that point of time realized the intensity of the sin which he was committing. Till that point of time, he became desensitized. He had become like, you know, indifferent to all the sins which he was committing. But when it was explained to him by the Vishnudutas in front of the Yamadutas that this is what will be your destination if you don't rectify yourself, so he was not taken back home back to Godhead immediately, but he was given some time. He was sent to Haridwar, given some time wherein he could rectify his situation, and then came to his senses, and then he went back home back to Godhead. So by that particular incident, we can understand how the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually explaining the law of karma in the same language as the cause and effect principle is being explained. In the Niti Shastra, it is explained what to speak of a person who is committing various kinds of sin on this earth planet in this life and then heads to heaven or hell. What to speak of that? It explains that a person who has returned from heaven and hell, there are certain symptoms of people who have returned from heaven, and there are certain symptoms of people who have returned from hell. So our scriptures are so precise that they can even detect that this person is a law-abiding person who has come from heaven, and this person, he is a lawbreaker who has come from hell, just by looking at the symptoms. So it is explained that what are the symptoms of a person who has returned from heaven. It is said, Svarga chatanam yah bhumi loke chatvari chinhani basanti dehi dana prasango madhura chavani surarchanam brahmana tarpanam cha. So these are the four qualities of a person who has returned from heaven. Dana prasango, he is very charitable, always keeps giving in charity. So one can understand that this person who is of that, having that nature, he has returned from heaven. Madhura chavani, his vani is very, very madhur. So a person who is a very sweet talker, that person is indicative of a person who has returned from heaven. And surarchanam, he is always worshipping the higher demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So because he has this natural proclivity to worship the higher beings, surarchanam, so this also is indicative of his being returned from the heavens. and Brahmana Tarpanam cha. He's always worshipping the Brahmanas on this planet. So because of these four qualities, which becomes indicative that he has returned from heaven. And then Niti explains that there are the four qualities of a person who has returned from hell. Narkasya chinham narakagatasya virodhita bandhu jaleshu nityam sarogata yah ativadosha basanti dehe chakkatuka chavani. So these are the four symptoms of a person who has returned from hell. The first is bandhu virodhi. He is always, you know, in an angry and envious mood with his own bandhuvar. Like we had Kripamaya Prabhu from the UK a couple of years ago. And he was explaining that his grandfather was always very argumentative, short-tempered, and, you know, he had spoiled his relations with everyone in the family, especially when Kripamaya Prabhu joined as Hare Krishna. So when his grandfather was on his deathbed, he was shown this book, Second Chance, by Kripamaya Prabhu. So he had seen, you know, that book and heard about the Yamadutas. And when he was on his deathbed, he saw also the Yamadutas approaching. So he became so fearful, and he would, you know, at times shout out loudly, call out for his wife that, please save me from these horrific beings. They are about to just pounce upon me. And then when he had the visual, before he only had the audio. So now he had the audio visual both on his deathbed. And then he decided. He had certain realizations. Kripamaya Prabhu was telling. He said, definitely now I am convinced that there is heaven. And I am convinced I am not going there. And he said, definitely there is hell. And if I don't change now, definitely I am going there. So that was his realization. And in fact, in his last days, he rectified and he started chanting also. So, bandhu virodhi. A person who is bandhu virodhi is indicative that that person has returned from hell. And the second chinha or indication of a person who has returned from hell, sarogata. He is full of roga, full of diseases. Recently, a person, a journalist from Jaipur, he went to the court and was asking to the court that, please give me permission to commit suicide. Now, generally, people go to the court because someone has killed other person and there is a case going on. But here, this person is going to the court to ask permission that, please let me die. I want to kill myself. And this was a unique case, so the court was not able to decide. You know, we don't have anything in our law books to give such kind of permission. So they tried to find out that why you want to die, people want to live. So he said that I'm suffering from diabetes, I have arthritis, recently my knee got fractured, and on top of that I have prostate cancer. Sarogata. Body full of diseases. Shariram vyadhi mandiram, it is said. That the sharira is the mandir of vyadhi, all kinds of diseases. So a person who is full of those, so many kinds of diseases, is indicative, according to Niti Shastra, that he has returned from hell. Then ativa dosha, a person who has a tendency to steal, always a tendency to steal something, or cheating propensity, that is always indicative that the person has returned from hell. We know that story, that this thief was sent to Kumbh Mela to rectify his stealing propensity. But he couldn't, you know, resist. So what he did, he didn't steal, but he exchanged. You know, all the people in that particular camp where he was being placed, he exchanged the luggage of everyone. interchange. You know, just to get the feeling that yes, I did something in lines with my proclivity. So a person who has returned from hell has got this indication that he has that stealing propensity. And katukacha vani, a person whose vani is very katu, very sharp-tongued a person who is, that person is indicative that he has returned from hell. There is a story of a king, a minister, and his soldier. Three of them went for a hunting excursion. And somehow they got lost, and it was the evening time. They were not able to trace each other. So, in that particular forest, there was a sage who had his hermitage. And the sage was blind. So now, one by one, each of these, you know, the soldier, the minister, and the king, they come across this blind sage. And the way they inquire, the sage responds accordingly. So first, the soldier comes. And when he looks at this sage and understands that this sage is blind, so he is asking this sage, "E achakshu," which means, you know, "E andhe," "E blind one, did you hear someone passing in front of your hermitage?" And the sage said, "No, didn't hear." So then he went, and then the minister came. So the minister asked that, "E surdas," because blind men are also addressed as surdas. "So, hey Surdas, did you hear anyone passing from here?" So he said, "No, I didn't hear anyone." So then the king came, and the king very respectfully first paid his obeisances. "But oh my dear great sage, it's my great fortune that I have come across a sage like this today. So please, I want to know whether have you heard anyone passing by your hermitage?" And then the sage spoke, "Yes, the first was your soldier who passed, and the second was your minister, and now you have come, my dear king." The king had not introduced himself, but the sage immediately recognized just by the vani. And the sage said, the king asked, "How do you know that first it was my soldier and then the minister and now I am coming?" So the sage said, "Just by the vani. In fact, the soldier who came first, he was here and he is heading towards hell. You are asking where did he go? He went to hell because of his vani. And your minister, you are asking where did he go? Your minister will remain here because of his vani, which was not that katu. It was okay. And you, my dear king, because of your great way of speaking and addressing me, you will be heading to the higher regions just because of your vani, because of your speech." So a person who has that katu vani, katukacha vani, a person of that particular speech is indicative that he has returned from hell. Now, the law of karma is very wonderfully explained by, or this cause and effect theory also is very wonderfully explained by another beautiful verse, which speaks how the law of karma is so precise. The cause and effect theory might have so many flaws in it, but the law of karma is very, very precise and very accurate. So this verse explains, "Yatha dhenu sahasreshu vatso gachyati mataram tatha yat chakritam karma kartaram adhi gachyati." The example of a cow and a calf is given. "Yatha dhenu sahasreshu," dhenu means a cow, "sahasreshu," there might be millions and millions of calves, vatsa, but the mother cow can very precisely detect and spot her own calves. Amidst millions and millions of calves, the cow, the mother cow, can detect her own calf. So this example is given, just like a cow, mother cow, can detect amidst millions and millions of calves, her own calf. Similarly, karma of a person can detect its candidate amidst millions and millions of sinners. The karma can easily detect that here is the one who had committed this crime at this time, on this day. It is so precise. Tatha yat chakritam karma kartaram adhigachati. Now as against this, we have Krishna, who is addressed as Bhakta Vatsal. And the same quality Krishna also has, but for his devotee. Now in this particular adjective of Krishna being called as Bhakta Vatsal, Vatsa, the same word which means calf, and La means to bring. So just like we understood this example that a cow can detect its calf amidst millions and millions of calves, similarly Krishna can also detect its devotee amidst millions and millions of conditioned living entity and spot that here is my devotee, I have to pick this one up. And just like a cow, when it gives birth to the calf, it licks up all of that amniotic fluid and all that what has come out from the cow. It personally, the cow licks all that up and purifies that calf. So similarly, Krishna, who is Bhakta Vatsal, does that to his devotee. Personally, he is the swift deliverer, as it is said. So herein, with this example, we can understand that sometimes the cow might take some time to detect the calf. So sometimes the reaction might be a little delayed. And sometimes the cow might detect the calf immediately. So herein we get into the principle of the delayed karmic reaction and the instant karmic reaction. The cow finding the calf immediately and the cow finding the calf after some time. Like I remember when I was posted in Delhi, this particular incident took place of one Air Force personnel who was from Punjab. And he was returning back from his home after finishing his vacation, his leave which he had taken. So he was on his way back to his working unit in Delhi. And, in the defense, even if you are on leave or you are traveling, coming back to your working unit, you are still considered to be on duty. You still are eligible for all the perks and benefits. So he was on his way after his leave from Punjab to Delhi, and the train which he had boarded, at a certain place the train derailed, some of the bogies got derailed, and kind of an accident, and many of the passengers died, and it was, in no man's land. It was very difficult, to communicate with the railway police and get the assistance and rescue people. So this person, he somehow was saved. Now he thought of a crooked idea. He decided that he will take a dead body and he will put his identity card in that and deface the dead body. And when the dead body will reach, the rescue people will come, the railway police will try to detect, the identities of the dead body, will find my identity card and will report to the Air Force that your man has been killed in this accident. So then I'll get so much lump sum money, lakhs and lakhs of money. So thinking like that, he defaced one dead body, took out his identity card, put in that, and somehow he went back to his village and told his family members that soon you will receive a telegram of my death and you have to go and collect my so-called dead body, and along with that you will receive lakhs and lakhs of rupees, and forever, ever after, we'll live happily with all that money. And his plan worked out. The police, the railway police came, the rescue people came, and they were trying to identify the dead bodies, and they found that this dead body had that identity card of the Air Force, and he was taken to the unit. And over there, they found in their records that yes, this person was supposed to be on this train and come to Delhi, and now, so then they informed the family members. The family members were also, you know, the same blood, so they went and to collect his so-called dead body, and you know, appeared to show, you know, a crying scene over there, and took all that money, and now he was happily with all that money in his village. But 9 years after that, you see, the cow took so much time to find out the calf. 9 years after that, you know, he was having his business in the village with all that money. He had started a business. So there was this terrorist activities which were going on in Punjab. And in his village, you know, the police, you know, they were sensing that the terrorists were hiding in this village. So the whole village was called in the police station for interrogation. So the whole village was called and they were interrogating each and every person. And by this time, he had forgotten. You know, he had forgotten his cow. So, you know, he was asked, what is your name and what are you doing over here? So he told, you know, this is my name and I've been living here, you know, since my childhood. And then they looked in their records. In their records, he was supposed to be dead because the Air Force police had informed the local police that this person from your village is no more. Write him off for the census. So then they found this person is supposed to be dead. And then they informed the Air Force police that, you know, this guy of yours is living here, having a nice flourishing life. And then the cow came and, you know, the karma followed behind, and then he was caught and given lifetime imprisonment for forgery. And then sometimes we have the instant reaction. Immediately the cow catches the calf. This happened some years ago. There was a ship plying through the Mediterranean Sea. And some of the sailors, they caught some very special kind of fish. So what they did, they showed to the captain, and the captain was also very excited about that special kind of, special species of fish. So they really wanted to enjoy. So they kept those fishes in the refrigeration, the cold storage. And somehow, after some time, that cold storage went out of order. So there was no refrigeration for the fishes. And these fishes were so special that after they were killed and after they were not kept in that refrigeration, they emitted out very poisonous kind of gas. So fumes started coming out from the refrigeration section. So one of the sailors opened to see and he was dead there because of the poisonous fumes which are coming out from the body of these fishes. So the second sailor went to see what has happened. He also was dead over there. And the fumes were so powerful that it went into the steering wheel of the ship and the ship got stuck. And the ship was just going around. And the captain came to know that there is something wrong going on because of these fishes. Now the captain was only left with one assistant and they had to jump in the ocean. And they jumped in the ocean, lo and behold, the same species of fishes were there to eat this captain up. The same species. Somehow the assistant got saved and this particular captain, he was eaten up by the same species of the fishes which they had caught and put in that particular refrigeration. So immediately the cow caught over here. So therefore, in this world, the saying goes, you know, everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. How can you go to heaven unless you die over here? And therefore, they are hell-bent to go to hell by their actions. So for them, we can coin this term, like we have back home, back to Godhead, back to hell, back to doghead, by their actions. So we have the Ajamil's example, in which Ajamil is showing what is the way out, how to go to the spiritual world, in spite of being a sinner like that. So one time Radha Gopinath Prabhu was explaining that the most important section for us from the Ajamil Upakhyan is Ajamil's transformation. That after Ajamil heard after the hearing of his case, he heard, you know, from the Yamadutas and saw the Yamadutas, what kind of person they were. And actually the Yamadutas had already captured Ajamil in their Yamapash. And then he heard from the Vishnudutas. So what was the transformation of Ajamil? So the acronym was given. The acronym was RAGAD. R stands for Ajamil regretted for his deplorable condition. He regretted. And A stands for he became aware of where he was heading because of his sinful activities. G refers to he became grateful for at least he had some Brahminical culture in the beginning of his life, because of which he named his last son as Narayan. So he was grateful for that. And then another A stands for appreciation. He was very much appreciative of the glories of the holy name which he had heard from the Vishnudutas. And D stands for determination. Then he was determined never ever to even think of committing those kinds of sin again. So the principle of Ragad took place in Ajamil. He regretted, he became aware, then he was very much grateful, he appreciated what he had been given, and then finally he was determined not to slip down again, not to recede back into that hellish kind of life and then go to hell again. So this is what we learn from this principle which has been explained in this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that we have to understand that if it was not the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we were all the candidates heading towards all these descriptions over there. And if we don't take this particular process seriously, then definitely we may also, like Ajamil, may have to confront the situation which he had to. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions anyone has? One question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class. I had a question. Now, we've been discussing about hellish planets for some time in the class, and we see all our dear relatives and, you know, so-called friends doing the things that we hear about, leading them towards another direction. So as a practicing devotee, I was just thinking, I mean, if should we ever talk about these hellish planets to our friends and relatives, or just let them be and let them just do whatever they're doing and never mind, because it's very painful to see.
It's like it depends on the candidate. We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam how the various preachers, how they preached the message. Now Narad Muni, who was preaching to the Haryashvas, Narad Muni just spoke some riddles and the Haryashvas understood, because their level was so high that just by, you know, asking about some riddles, they understood that what is the goal of life. But for Mrigarhari, the same Narad Muni, if would have spoken about the riddles, Mrigarhari was on that level where Narad Muni had to show him, here, this is how you will be suffering. So Narad Muni had to instill the fear element in Mrigarhari. So it depends the level which these people are. If they are like that, then we have to instill that fear. And therefore these descriptions are mentioned so that the fear element is instilled in the heart. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Chaitanya Shikshamrit that different ways, different levels in which people reciprocate with God. First is the bhaya element, bhaya buddhi. Then superior to that is asha buddhi, that people are hopeful that if I go to God, I'll get something. So first is bhaya buddhi, then there is asha buddhi. Then higher than asha buddhi is kartavya buddhi, that I should do something. He is giving me so much, so just out of duty, kartavya, I should do something. And the highest is raga buddhi, That's prema or love. When one reciprocates with God out of love. So if a person is on that level where only the fear aspect will work, yes, we may explain this. And how we have to know how to give the dose, in what way. Like how Narad Muni gave the dose to Prachini Barhi. That he spoke about the condition of Puranjan, and he spoke in such a way that towards the end, Prachini Bhari understood that actually Narad Muni is speaking about me. So we may not point finger like this, that you are the one going to hell if you don't change. But we can explain about the principle, and they will know that what kind of activities they are involved in, and it's been spoken about their own story. Hare Krishna, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhu.